So Titus, the book of Titus.
I don't have a pocket there. Oh, well.
Well, that ain't the book of Titus. That's in the T's. First, Second Timothy, then there's Titus. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Let's stop. God's amazing grace, we started talking about that this morning. Timothy was left behind in Crete. He was left behind to talk, to teach, because they had some people there that were doing some things wrong. Verse 10 of chapter 1 says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." In other words, he said, those of the Judaizers, those that were coming in, perverting the gospel of Christ, adding things to the grace of God, he said, whose mouth must be stopped. Now, after that, he told Titus, he said, now you need to come, you need to stay here, and you need to teach. He said, you've got to teach these churches. You've got to ordain elders that will stand behind the faith, that will teach the same things about the grace of God, other things. He also breaks it all down. He said that the aged men, they need to be sober. In other words, in control of their minds. Don't be drunk with wine. You women, it says here you can drink a little bit. Just don't get drunk. No, I'm just picking around. But nonetheless, he said, don't be out there not in control of your faculties. Your facilities. You gotta be in control. You gotta have some self-control of things. And he said, you need to teach. But he also turned around and he said, you aged women likewise. All of the women that are aged that know how to treat their husbands, know how to take care of their household, know how to take care of their children. Lord help me, there was one in Chick-fil-A last night. I would not have got up and whipped that kid for anything in the world. She decided he wasn't going to play in the playground. And he did not see the humor in that. He pitched a fit. Come unglued, worse than any Walmart kid. I almost got up and my wife says, oh, don't ruin my dinner. I'm like, it would be worth the fine and the arrest. I could spend the night in jail for this. And I think folk around me could read my mind and my looks. But I wasn't going to whip the kid. I was going to slap his mom. She was the problem. And it, really and truly, it is what's wrong. But aged women, they need to be teaching. They don't need to be out there blabbering. They need to be teaching people. Said that they may teach the young women how to be in control of your mind, How to be, in other words, self-control. How to love your husbands. How to love your children. I just thought that was natural, but it's not. After last night, I know it ain't. Somebody needed to teach her. And to be discreet. Chaste, keepers at home. We won't go to the obedient part, Becca. I'll help you out with that one. Oh, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, the young men, they were to be sober-minded in all things, showing them themselves a pattern of good works. Listen, we ought to be showing ourselves a pattern of good works. What does all that consist of? There's a lot. We should be doing some praying. Honestly, prayer is a good pattern to follow. We should be doing some devotions. I'll be back, don't panic. We should be doing some devotions. That's a good pattern to follow. Anybody out here, it doesn't matter, men, women, old, young, anybody out here, you need to find people like that to watch. Be careful who you watch. Make sure that who you're looking up to, who you're watching, is doing what they ought to be doing. They ought to be doing some prayer. There ought to be some devotion going on. They ought to be taking care of their family if it's anymore today, male and female. You ought to be doing what you need to be doing for your family. And have some temperance about you, control about you. And we need to have that. But he left him there for a lot of teaching, because they had all of this false teaching going on. And by the way, there was one guy, where's the verse at? He said in verse 12 of chapter 1, this was a someone you don't want to follow. The Cretans were not known to be really good folk. He said, it said, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said of his own people that the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Yeah, in other words, they weren't the best folk to watch. That's why he told Titus, you need to teach. There's things that need to be taught. And he laid it out for everybody from the age of Miss Betty all the way down. Not picking on you, but you are the oldest. Hey, I watch her. She's got a good pattern. She's always telling me about how she prays about this and she prays about that. Listen, that's a good pattern to follow. And we need to be doing that. But now, look at verse 11. And he also tells him, he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's amazing grace is why we're saved. If you're here tonight and you've trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's God's amazing grace is why you're there. It has nothing to do with anything you've done, but it's all about what Jesus done for you. And really and truly, it's just as amazing as the grace that saved a man named John Newton. You know who John Newton is? John Newton wrote the song Amazing Grace. John Newton's mom died. He was around 6 years old. She was a good woman, a godly woman. His dad, on the other hand, was not a good guy. Very wicked, vile individual. Somewhere around about 11, 12, somewhere in that area, John Newton went on the ship with his father, became a sailor. John Newton himself became a very, very vile, evil, wicked man. He was a slave trader. He bought and sold slaves. Later on, he became a slave himself. And if you read the account of John Newton, you'll find he went through a really, really hard time in his life. And he got saved. And when I mean he got saved, he got saved. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. When he was a slave, he was eating scraps like a dog off the floor. The lady that owned him would just sling him down on the floor, and that's how he ate his food. He went through a rough time in his life, but he got saved, and he wrote that song. And there's, I don't forget how many verses there is. It's an unreal number. 13, 14, 16 verses. We only sing four every now and then. There's some books that got five in there. But the majority of books have got four, which is the one we're used to singing. But that grace that saved John Newton, as rotten as a fella as he was. I mean, that's pretty low to sell another human being. That's going pretty low. There's a lot of bad things to do to a person, but to sell them as a slave, that's pretty rough. And he got saved. Then you think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he drug Christians off. People that were serving Jesus Christ, drug them off to prison. Which, by the way, if you read about that, you'll find out that they were put in arenas and they were put out there to fight with trained warriors. They called them gladiators. And they would fight each other till the death. Well, you know who's going to win. And then they would, that wasn't good enough. They would put them out there with lions, turn the lions loose on them and let them run out there. And boy, wasn't that some activity to watch. I've never been so bad off in my life that I wanted to watch a lion attack somebody. That doesn't seem to me to be a big sport, but apparently it was to the Romans. But even him, that grace that was bestowed upon you, if you are saved, that same grace that saved John Newton, the same grace that saved the Apostle Paul, is the same grace that'll save us. If you're here and you're saved, it's the same grace. Listen, I was a liar. Don't say amen. I was pointing to my wife. I drank, did some drugs, went to church, said God's name in vain. As far as I was concerned, the four-letter word beginning with an F was supposed to be in every sentence. Fight. I love to fight. I didn't have a problem with Matter of fact, I prided myself on that. It was like, yeah, I'll fight you. Come on. Look at me wrong. I don't care. What? I was wearing glasses. That's your problem, not mine. Should have took them off before you come in the bar. But that same grace that saved John Newton, that saved the Apostle Paul, that saved old Peter, that saved doubting Thomas, that same grace the Lord gave to me, and all I had to do was ask. I just asked. That's it. I didn't have to pull out the wallet. Oh man, I'm in trouble if you do. But you pull out the wallet and you pay for your salvation? No, I didn't have to do that. I did not have to go and work. I didn't have to go say a bunch of sacraments or bow down 12 times or jump over a broomstick. All I had to do was call upon the name of the Lord, and He said, "Thou shalt be saved." It ain't hard. Kaylani the other day. I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. I said, let me ask you a question. This is what I did. I said, do this for me. She's standing by a door. And I said, shut the door.
And she shut the door. I said, would you feel anything? She said, well, no. I said, well, did you shut the door? She said, yeah. And I said, did the door shut? Yeah. I said, you sure? She said, yeah, it shut. I said, salvation is just that simple. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you call on me, believing in me, and thou shalt be saved. It ain't no, you might get saved if you go to church. You might get saved if you read the Bible and if you shake hands with the right preacher. It's as simple as saying, Lord, save me. That's it, because you're believing in Him. At that split second in your life, your heart said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross for my sins. I'm asking Him to save me. He says He'll save you. You see, that's what grace brought to us. It brought to us salvation. But why did we need salvation? Why in the world, Miss Betty, did you need salvation? Why did you have, Marty, you ever thought about that? Why did you need salvation? Why, if you're in here today and you've never trusted the Lord, and I don't know your hearts, but if you've never trusted, why do you need salvation? You sick? You got a problem? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 answers that. It says, we were dead in our spirits. Dead. When did that happen? Well, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were doing good. Adam was walking with God and talking with God in the quiet of the evening. And he said, now, Adam, I'm giving you this garden. You take care of it. I want you to take care of the garden, Adam. It's yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. Here's the deed. Your Garden of Eden. And that dipstick, give it away. God says, don't eat that tree right over there. Oh, here's one. See this tree right here? Had a fruit on it the other day. It must have fell off. Don't eat of this tree. You can have anything else in the garden you want, Adam. Just don't eat of that one. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that. Yes, sir. But he didn't. Eve come along. Wasn't her fault, Ryan. She got deceived. Satan said, oh, man. Look at this tree. Look at the fruit on there. It looks good. Wouldn't you like to have it? Oh, by the way, Eve, if you eat this, you're going to be like God. The one, you know the one Adam walks around with every day? In the cool of the evening? Hey, you're going to be like him if you eat of that. See, God said, the day you eat of it, you're going to die. But He didn't mean physically. Spiritually. You see, Adam died spiritually that day because Eve accepted it and she ate it and she said, here, Adam, have a bite. And I honestly, I have to read this into it, but I figured that Adam loved her so much because he had looked and he named all the animals, but he didn't find him nothing. And he was alone. And God gave him Eve because He said, it ain't good that man's alone. And Adam was thinking, you know what? If I don't eat of this, I ain't going to have her no more. Maybe he said, I'll fix this problem. Here, give me a bite. And they died spiritually. And from that point on, bless our grand, great, 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 however many great grandparents they are, we all got passed down a sin nature. We're not sick. We've got the sin nature. And that means we're separated from God. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins and shed His blood for our sins. And if we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, now we're not separated from God anymore. We're made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, see, that's good. That's what grace did for me. Because I was evil. Oh, we better go to Ephesians. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." You were dead in trespasses and sin. Grace came to you and it quickened you. You became alive again. See, that's what grace did for us. We were evil. Verse 2. "Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world." Woo! "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." In other words, you were tailing along behind Satan, doing what Satan wanted you to do. That's every one of us in here. "Well, I've never done anything real bad, Brother Jim." Well, it don't matter. You're dying to go in hell because you're following the devil. Grace brought that to us. We were evil. We were disobedient. It says disobedient. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were sinful and depraved. Verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were by nature. So what did grace do for me? Grace brought me salvation. It made me righteous before a righteous God. Because before that, God couldn't look at me. He looked down there and it was just black, nasty sin. But when I got saved, it's just like Jesus became God's glasses, and he looks down there and he says, "Oh, he's covered in the blood." And oh, the devil, that little jerk, little pervert, he runs back and forth to heaven. Right now. Runs back and forth to heaven and he says, "Oh, look at Jose down there, God. Did you see what he did? Did you see?" You catch that thought he had? But when he looks at Jose, he's covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. See, he's righteous before God because of what Jesus did. Verse 4 and 5. Oh. Of Titus. We got to go back to Titus. I think it's Titus. I might have messed up in my notes. Yeah, I did mess up my notes. Go back to Ephesians. My bad. That's all right. Good for you. Ephesians. And I better read Ephesians, not Philippians. You ain't going to like it. Ephesians chapter 2. My hurricane up here is blowing my pages. But God. See, I like that conjunction. But God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. Oh, mercy. "For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved." You see what grace did for us? Grace brought us salvation. Even though we were evil, even though we were disobedient, and even though we were sinful and depraved, going to hell, going to suffer God's wrath because of what Jesus did for us, we're now children of the Lord. If we believed in Him, if we've asked Him into our hearts. But there's something else grace done for us. Go back to Titus. 2 Timothy, and then you'll find Titus chapter 2. Verse 12. There's a few other things grace did for us. Verse 12. Teaching us. So grace not only brought salvation to us, but it also teaches us. It taught us something. It says here, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live, should, S-H-O-U-L-D, should. You may not all the time, because we ain't none of us perfect. Okay? I'm not perfect. "
deny godliness, ungodliness. We ought to be denying ungodliness, denying worldly lust. There's a lot of it out there. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In other words, every day of our lives, grace has brought to us salvation, but it also taught us that every day of our lives, we ought to try to live for God. I said, try. You ain't going to go out there and live perfect. Trust me. You're not going to live perfect. I got angry over that kid last night. Man, man, man. I'm thinking, knock him out. And then I thought, no, knock her out. Because she was the problem. And maybe your mom, while you're at it, give me her address. Listen. They needed praying for. You know, our world needs praying for. The government over the years and our school system has got people scared to death to tear the kids' hind end up. That's what it's for. It ain't to look at. It's all meaty and fatty so you can bust their hind end when they mess up. That's what it's for. Tear them up. Hey, listen. Proverbs said the blueness of the wound, good for them. It says the rod of correction will drive foolishness far from them. You know, do you realize how, you ever thought about how foolish you've been over the years? Foolish! We went out one night, me and some boys, drunkard and a skunk. None of us had driver's license, driving a Mach 1. And flipped it end over end 3 times. Doom, 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 poof, landed on the wheels. Wouldn't go anymore. A farmer come out and said, you guys are okay? Well, by then, I done sobered up. It's amazing how that kind of stuff will sober you up quick. He was like, I can't believe you guys ain't dead. He said, you quit that thing for foolishness. My dad never did know about that. Now, if he listens to his sermon, he will. But if he'd have known, listen, he'd have busted my hind end. At more than one time, he took me out on the back porch with a big old bell. Pow! And I limped. I don't limp from it. I limp from other stupid things. It had nothing to do with a whipping. But God taught us sanctification. He says soberly, in other words, a sound mind, temperately, righteously. We ought to live just as best we can. Poor old Lot. Lot was just. He was saved. But he lived in a rotten place, about like what we live in. Godly. I looked that up. Piously. Do you regard the sacred things or to the duties God has enjoined? Oh, what's God told us to do? There again, from this morning, we're supposed to be telling others about Christ. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing what God wants. But look at verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people zealous of good works. Let me read you a verse real quick. We read it this morning, but let me turn over here because for whatever reason, I cannot memorize this one verse. Ephesians, write this down, chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When we get saved, the grace, it brought us salvation, it teaches us to start walking like Christ. To start acting like Christ. Years ago, they come out with this WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, I understand what they meant, but I'm not a fan of it. I don't need a bracelet that says WWJD. I ought to have that in my mind and my heart. But I think about it, what would Jesus do about it? Had a movie.
watched a movie about that. Was it Carpenter or something? Yeah, neat little movie. You ought to watch it.
And this kid on there, he said, well, I don't want to go to school. And the guy said, well, you ain't got to go to school. He said, but what would Jesus do? Oh. Well, he'd probably go to school. Well, maybe you ought to go to school. And he did. Kid was turned out to be a pretty good kid. Because he thought about that. Listen, God sought us. He taught us and He sought us. We were purchased with His blood. We ought to try to live our lives the way He would like us to. That's back to that other verse. Soberly, righteously, godly. We ought to try to do that. We're purified through His blood. But grace wrought something in us, worked something in us. Look at verse 13. This is a good verse here. I skipped it on purpose. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace brought us to that point that we have hope. Listen, I lived in this world for years and years and years with no hope. None. And I knew, because I've been in church, to my knowledge, all my life. Heard when I met Sandy. I won't embarrass her. Her dad was the pastor of the church I was at. He came there, they called him. He come one Sunday, just him and his wife and that little brat, her brother, her little brother, Al. Now he's a big brat. No, I'm kidding. I love Al. But he didn't bring her. And I'm like, oh, he preached. Hey! He's screaming all her and all of that good stuff. And but I heard all of that. I knew that in my life, if I didn't accept Christ, if I died without Jesus, I was going to go to hell. That's what I've been hearing all of my life. And then her dad reinforced it. And I'll tell you the rest of the story. The next Sunday he brought her and I'm like, yep, she's mine. And it has been 43 years. Wouldn't trade her off for nothing. I ain't so sure what she thinks sometimes. But anyway. But he preached that. He preached, listen, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And I just ignored it. Ride my motorcycle, go around curves, laid it down more than once, slid into pine trees. Going down the highway one day in a Dodge Charger Super B. You ever rode in one of them? 383 Magnum. 125 miles an hour down Pine Springs Road with Scott Gaddis. Dwayne Sosby, this nut I used to run around with, had a helmet on in the back end crying. You need to slow up. Listen, you'd have to go down this road. It was bad. We're just floating along. And God's like, keeping it down. I got plans for him.
Amen.
You know, but if I'd have died, I'd have went to hell. But because of God's grace, brought me the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it gave me that hope. We have a blessed hope. Some don't have it. Listen, one of these days Jesus is going to come back with a shout. And because of grace, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to leave some people behind. I got some loved ones. They're not going. You know, my wife got all upset one time and she were talking to a guy and he passed on now. But he told her, he said, honey, he said, we can't win them all. He said, we can win some. But he said, one of these days we're going to leave this world and we're going to leave some behind. One of these days, honestly, we're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. We won't be at the judgment being judged, because if we're saved, all that's taken care of. But one of these days, I believe we'll stand right there beside God and watch those that we tried to tell. Or maybe some of them we didn't tell that we should have. Maybe it could be some of our children, grandkids, moms, dad. We're going to watch them be cast into the lake of fire. But see, we have that opportunity today to get saved. Amen. To trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have that opportunity, those of you that are saved, to tell others about Jesus. We need to tell them about the grace of God. Because the world don't tell them. The world tells them, get a bottle. Drink some whiskey. That'll drown out your problem. Take some drugs. Smoke a joint or two. It's legal now. It'll help you sleep at night. They don't tell them about the grace of God, though. You know, I was watching Bull Riders the other day. I went to the PBR. And while I was sitting up there watching them, I'm like, I wonder how many of them boys know the Lord Jesus. But you put yourself in that situation. Get on the back of a 2,000-pound bull that loves you. He loves you so much that when you hit the ground, he wants to slobber on you. But you know what? You ever heard of a guy named Lane Frost? I knew him. He's a good kid. He run around with Ty Murray and Tuff Hedeman. Rode his bull and died in the arena. But I'm going to be honest with you. Lane Frost is in heaven. He's got good godly parents, and I believe the boy knew the Lord Jesus. But the question is tonight, do you know somebody you need to talk to? If you do, don't waste no time. Talk to them. Because we don't know whether we're going to make it through tonight or not. If you're here tonight and you don't know 100% you're saved, you can. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, if you believe that God's Son is Jesus and He sent Him to this earth to die on a cross for your sins. And then it says in verse 13 of that same chapter, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, all you've got to do is say, Lord, I believe. Please come into my heart and save me. Done deal. Oh, you won't see a bright light. You're not going to get a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's all just like shutting a door. You know you pulled it too and it's shut. It's that simple. It's a fact. Jesus said, if you call on Him, thou shalt be saved. Let's stand. We're going to have an invitation this evening.